question to ask today, and I expect no response, and that is, in this house today, there are great needs. Things that you need that only God can do. I was standing there just less than 3 minutes ago, and I saw in a vision, I saw in this building a cloud with little gentle folds, and it's just right here. And in it was all manner of things, answers, solutions, healings, miracles, everything. It was right there. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word glory literally means when God reveals who He is and what He can do. That's glory. And we're short of that. But the Bible says, my God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. It's right here. And if I can reach this place of glory today and get into this place, everything I have need of from God is there. I don't know how we're going to get in that place today. I don't know how you're going to get into that place today. Because whatever brought you here today that you have need of, in the Spirit, it's right here. It's right here. It's right here. You need things in your marriage, it's right here. You need a healing, a mirror, it's just right here. And I don't know what you got to do to get here, but it's in here. I don't know what you have to say. I don't know how you have to respond. I don't know what you've got to do to push back whatever's going on in your life, every hold, every stronghold, to get here.
Yes.
Just close your eyes and tell the Lord, I don't know how to get in this place where my need is, but will you help me?
Yes, God.
Will you help me? Could you just begin to lift up your heavens, your hands, and begin to reach. And ask God, help me to get in that place because I need you to reveal and manifest your power and your glory in my marriage, in my children, in my body, in this situation, in my finances. I need you. I need you. It's in this house. It's in this house. The Lord, I don't know how to get there, but if you'll help me, I don't know what I've got to say, I don't know what I've got to do, I don't know how I've got to respond, but help my heart, help my heart. Could you find another brother right now, another sister? Could you begin to pray with each other? Could you begin to loose and release each other, helping each other to get in this place? Oh, yada liya marela bakaya la bokoya tahaya taha. Help us, Lord, if you do not help us, if you do not help us, we cannot reach that place in you because of the sin in our lives, the areas of our life in our flesh. It's hindering and holding us back. It's causing us to come up short. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord today. I apologize and don't apologize, but the back Sunday school and all that stuff is in renovation. And hopefully soon we'll be back to normal, and then we're renovating buildings across the parking lot for expansion. And it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Could you just look at somebody and say, you're at a place today where God things always happen? For years and years, I've had that saying everywhere I went, you're at a place where good things always happen. And one day, Tyler got under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and confused it and said, it's a place where God things always happen. And I like God things better than good things. But God's always good. Always good. The Lord wants to talk to us today, and it will be about a subject that will be easy for you to zone out on, go to sleep on, nod off on, and get disinterested in, because your flesh is going to rise up against what the Spirit of the Lord is going to talk to us about today. And it's called biblical prayer. Biblical prayer. Prayer is the absolute key to all things in life. I'm going to say that again because you don't believe it. Prayer is the absolute key to everything in your life. Everything. Question, could it be that most of what we know about prayer does not work? Because it is contrary to what God desires from prayer. That's so good, son. Do you think you could just stay there for another 2 hours? Amen. It's just a preview of what's coming. What if God has not designed prayer to be about what we want, but about what He wants? Prayer to us is life-driven. What is going on in our life, my life? But prayer to God is not about our life, and it's not life-driven to Him. To him, it is kingdom driven. What He has willed to take place in His kingdom in this earth. God, I've said it many times, we ought to make a poster of it. God will only manifest and demonstrate His power to bring to pass His purpose. We know that prayer is the most supernatural, powerful tool that God has ever given to humanity. But I have found in the last few years that prayer is greatly misunderstood. Prayer is greatly misinterpreted. Therefore, prayer seems to not work. You don't believe that? Let me ask you a question. How's prayer working in your life? I have found that the vast majority of God's people have no or very little spiritual interaction with God on a daily basis. If you question that, how much did you pray last week? How often did you pray? How many day gaps were there? Only when life, with all of its complications and problems, overwhelm them, do they attempt to pray. But when they do, it is about their needs and what they want. And the only spiritual interaction with God is when they assemble with the people of God as a body, like today. And then I observe that many still do not spiritually connect with God unless there is an overwhelming manifestation of the presence of God. Then I will watch you try to spiritually put forth an effort. Over the last 16 years, the Lord has often spoken to us about this subject of prayer. In fact, there's been well over 100 hours in lessons and messages the Lord has spent talking to you and I about this powerful supernatural tool He has ever given to us, prayer. I remember when I first got back into church at the age of 20, my pastor Billy Hale often preached on, greatly promoted prayer to the Okmulgee Church. We had all-night men's prayer meetings that would start at 11 p.m., turn into sleep meetings, and then wake back up at 7 a.m., and it was over. Prayer was one of the main focuses of Billy Hale. Here was the problem. I didn't know how to pray, because all my focus was on what was going on in my life and the needs I had. Yet because of my pastor, there was a deep hunger stirred up in me to learn how to pray. I remember often laying on the floor, curled up, weeping, crying, asking God, teach me how to pray. Through the years, I would often find myself curled up on the floor, weeping, praying, asking God, teach me how to pray, because I understood the ignorance I had on the subject. I still, to this day, find myself curled up, crying. Teach me how to pray. All the messages and the stuff I've preached to this church has come out of what God has spoken to me and given to me. And I've been on a long journey desperately trying to learn how to pray biblically the way God designed prayer to be. You see, to me, prayer has been a lifelong school, 50 years of education and learning, because no matter how much I pray, I know there is always more to learn biblically and spiritually about prayer. I know there's dimensions in prayer I haven't reached, but it's a goal of mine. It's something I'm pressing for. And everything the Lord has taught me about prayer has been steps that have led me to the kind of prayer I participate in today. I do know that the prayer life that I had that brought me to Beaumont doesn't even resemble remotely the prayer life I have today. In fact, the prayer life I have right now doesn't hardly look like the prayer life I had 2 or 3 years ago. The skeleton's kind of there, but it's fleshed out in a different way. I do know we as the people of God must become students, disciples, and practitioners of prayer. This subject we will start today, it's going to be a series. I don't know how long. I'm not even going to get done with what the Lord has talked to me about prayer today. And this subject we're going to start, just biblical prayer. The Lord's intent is to help you and I examine how the apostles prayed, how they taught about prayer, how they practiced prayer. Because everything they taught about prayer and everything they practiced about prayer was received completely, totally, fully from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who demonstrated prayer and taught them how to pray. Even Paul was taught by Jesus, for he said he was born out of due time. And everything the apostles taught, everything they practiced on prayer, came from the early church. The reason the early church was so successful is because they knew how to pray. And this message on biblical prayer will be different than others that will follow. I will read many of the things that the Lord, and I'm going to talk to us and read many of the things the Lord has spoken to me in prayer, about prayer, over years and even recent months, weeks and days. I will say some of these statements are very, very challenging. Some would call them, Brother Pound, that's kind of negative, but there is no person, there's no purpose to being negative about prayer. The purpose is to challenge our practice and to see if we are obeying the Word of God. And the challenge is to me and the challenge is to you today. Biblical prayer. See, I knew we'd already get sleepy on this subject. True biblical prayer cannot be quantified by prayer time or hours prayed. Neither can prayer be defined by temporal religious standards and beads and liturgy. Neither is it confirmed by the clock or by the calendar. Neither can it be measured by the quantity and the volume of words spoken. To some degree, all of these things have been used to talk about prayer and to practice prayer. Yet none of these things are biblical. They're not scriptural. Biblical prayer is spiritual. Biblical prayer is supernatural. John 4:24, God is a spirit. Therefore, true communion with God cannot be natural. It is supernatural. Prayer is not a task. I'm sorry, it's not an obligation. It is not a discipline. It is not an exercise. It is first and foremost a relationship and fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. Also, it is a ministry. Why? Because God prays through us for His will and purposes in the earth. Biblical prayer cannot be prayed without first, everybody say first, making a supernatural spiritual connection with the Father. Not doing so is like talking to someone on the other end of the phone with no one there. I'm going to say that again. If we do not make a supernatural and spiritual connection with God, it is an exercise in futility, frustration, and failure. Because if you don't make that connection, you may be talking, but He's not on the other end of the line. Addie, when she was smaller, we had her these little fake phones. And I've watched children here in the church have these little fake phones. And they walk around carrying on conversations with people. But it's a fake phone. There's no one on the other end of the line. And she'd have conversations with 2 or 3 people going on at the same time. And there's nobody there. And I would say, who are you talking to? And she said, oh, it's just so-and-so. You see, prayer that is not founded upon and begun by establishing and affirming that spiritual connection with God is not prayer. The first thing I do when I crawl out of bed, and we may get onto it next week, I don't think so, Philip will be here, but I crawl out of bed and immediately in my spirit, The first words out of my mouth, I'm talking in tongues. What are you doing, Pastor? I've got to make that connection with Him. And I've got to keep that connection with Him all day long. I will talk in tongues and I will pray and I will speak to God until I feel Him. And when I feel Him, now I know I have made a connection with God. And there's somebody on the other end of the line that's listening to me. And if you don't make that connection, there's nobody you're connected to. And you're not talking to God. I'm just telling you what God's told me. We may be praying, but He's not on the other end of the line. And we are not praying if we're not connected with God. You see, God cannot fail. Therefore, biblical prayer cannot fail. And if our prayer is not working, we might need to consider that we are trying to talk to someone that we have not connected with, or we are trying to talk to God about things that are contrary to His will. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence, everybody say confidence, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, the word will is thelema, which means desires, choices, decisions, that which pleases Him. He now hears us. He now hears us. If I am asking and speaking according to His desires and His will and His desires. You see, that the thing, when people say, you can ask anything in faith and He will answer you. That's not true. That's a scripture taken out of context, because when you take all the other scriptures and you begin to add it to asking, it's literally, I must ask according to His will. And if I'm speaking to God something about something that He has no desire in, He has no choices and decisions to make in it, it does not please Him. I promise you, He is not on the other end of the line and He's not listening to you. And that's why 90% of the time prayer does not seem to work. Could it be we are praying and asking, but it's not according to His will? I'm asking, but He's not listening. I'm asking, but He's not fixing. I'm asking, but He's not moving. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. That word first means in priority, in order of time. First, the kingdom of God. And if the Lord lets me, we'll deal with this later on, because the first place God wants to establish His kingdom. You've heard me say this before. Kingdom comes from two words, king and dom, D-O-M, which means dominion. And the very first thing in our priority must be the dominion of the king. The dominion of the king. Seek ye first the dominion of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, what I will add to you is houses and lands and buildings and properties and finances and jobs and benefits and all these other things that are necessary in life. But the very first thing that must become a priority in your life is the dominion of God first, not in the earth, but in your own life, in your own heart, in your own spirit, in your own body, in you. And then righteousness, which is the equity of God's character in us. It's the first thing. Our priority is, I need you to fix this. I need you to heal that. I need you to give me answers and solutions. Put this back together. I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And we hand God a big to-do list. And then we wipe our hands and dust them off as though we have prayed. And we haven't. Because God cannot establish dominion in that until He first establishes dominion here. And when He gets me into alignment with Him, God says, guess what? All this other stuff is going to follow in alignment. Biblical prayer. Look at somebody and say, biblical prayer. This is what prayer is all about. First, His kingdom, His righteousness. Then I promise you, you do not have to ask God for anything. I haven't asked God for anything in years. I'm telling you right now, I have not asked God for anything in years. Because I know if I seek first His kingdom and I seek first His righteousness, God says, as you walk along in life, I'm just going to give you this and I'm going to give that. I know what you have need of before you even ask me, is what He said. And guess what? I'll supply all your needs because now you're in this place called glory. You're walking in it. You're living in it. You're abiding in it. And now what you have need of, I'll just give it to you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Look at somebody, smile real big and say, why are you worried about tomorrow? Because that's when my court date is. That's when I've got to sign papers. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Why? Because I have already first established the dominion of the King in my life and His righteousness. So therefore I do not have to worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What He's saying is every day has its own set of problems. Biblical prayer is not the alternate form of the proverbial wishing well. Prayer is not a religious game show or buying a spiritual lottery ticket. Prayer is not a religious... I'm reading just what the Lord's talked to me about. You can hear it if you want to. Prayer is not a religious exercise or obligation. It is not dull, lifeless, or boring. It is vibrant and dynamic. It is true communication, fellowship, and partnership with the One who created the universe. So how can I be in communication with, fellowshipping with, and be a conduit for the One who created the universe and it be boring? If prayer is boring, lifeless, and a chore, the first place you need to check is if you are even connected with God in your communication. Again, prayer is supernatural. Prayer is powerful and can impact the world by those who have truly given themselves to God. Prayer was never meant to be our access to God to get Him to fix everything we don't like and force Him to do what we want Him to do. That's not what prayer is all about. But to us, that's what prayer is. It's not biblical prayer. Prayer is not our key to unlock the proverbial horn of plenty. Prayer is not an obligatory religious exercise, vainly and tediously repeating words which to God have no real meaning or value. Biblical prayer is the path of life. It's the key to everything if I can learn how to pray. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, first prayer connects us to God. And if you're not connected to Him, you don't feel Him, and He hasn't affirmed. You need to keep on until you make that spiritual connection, because everything else coming out of your mouth, He's not listening to and He's not hearing because He's not connected. I know this is challenging, isn't it? See, prayer first connects us to God, where we can fellowship with Him, the One who is the one true and living God. No wonder David said, and Peter quoted him, that in His presence is fullness of joy. You don't have joy today, you're not in His presence. That's where you find joy. Not first joy, but fullness of joy. Fullness. That means when your joy is crammed full, replete, and running over. Meaning there is no greater joy or expression of joy in its capacity than being in His presence. Being in His presence is greater than a healing. Being in His presence is greater than a miracle. Being in His presence is greater than Him answering all my mess. Being in His presence is just, being in His presence today, we were in His presence. It's greater than anything. It's greater than any relationship. It's greater than any problem. If I just get into His presence, that's where I get joy. And you know what joy means? Biblically, it means a calm delight. If you can get in His presence and get joy flowing, You talk about peace. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, everything going on in your life all of a sudden becomes calm. There's nothing blowing. There's no waves. There's nothing in his presence. Get out of his presence and you're being rocked by waves and you're being rocked by situations and you're overwhelmed by life and what's going on. But if I can just get into his presence and make that connection, everything now ceases. It's just like when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves. He said, "Cease, be still." And immediately there was a calm. That's what getting in his presence will do. If I'm out of his presence, everything is moving me. That's why Paul could say, none of these things move me. Why? I'm in his presence. If somebody say, well, this is kind of challenging. Biblical prayer allows us to be positioned in God where we can be a conduit of his will, his authority, and his power in the earth. So first we connect with God. We fellowship with God, and now we are positioned with God, and through this positioning, we are now conduits for God to pray through us his kingdom, his will, his authority, and his power in the earth. I really wish the Lord would have let me go over the structure of prayer, what you must really first start prayer off with. You see, biblical prayer is powerful and effective, and the only one who can defeat it is the prayerless Christian. I'm going to say that again. The only one who can defeat powerful, effective prayer is a prayerless Christian. No one can defeat biblical prayer. It is powerful, it is effective, except one. The only one who can defeat biblical prayer is the one who claims to be a Christian, a child of God, and is prayerless. No wonder the adversary works so hard to distract us and get us to not pray. Yet ultimately, if we do not pray, is a product of us not surrendering our will to God and allowing him to pray his will through us. I'm going to say that again. Kind of went through that one in a hurry. Yet ultimately, if we do not pray, it is a product of us not surrendering our will to God and allowing him to pray his will through us. It matters not who we are and who we say we are. And we say, well, I'm too busy to pray. That is impossible. I won't say that's impossible. Amen. Somebody say that again. Who said that? Say that again, Zoe. Okay. We are making a choice when we do not pray that what we think is so important is now more important than seeking the face of God and his will. It simply means we're too busy doing things that God is not sanctioning and God is not blessing. If we say we're too busy to pray, it's impossible. A prayer life that is only done for the sake of appearance to us and to others only produces things that has no tangible substance. Preachers can be eloquent and impressive. Heard a lot of them without a biblical prayer life. Saints can have the appearance of Christianity without a biblical prayer life. Did you hear that? Churches can have the appearance of growth and revival, but it is all hype without a biblical prayer life. If ministries, true saints, authentic churches is not birthed in prayer, guided by prayer, submitted to God in prayer, it really has no value to man or to God. They're not saving anybody. They're not doing anything that God sanctions, that God blesses. I promise you, the flesh can produce a lot of stuff. The flesh can grow churches. The flesh can put together programs and plans. The flesh can do a lot underneath the guise of Christianity and church. But if it's not conceived in prayer and birthed in prayer, it's flesh giving birth to flesh, and that's all it is. Because you see, because it is under the appearance of being spiritual and in truth, it's just a work of the flesh. Ministries that are hirelings, ministers,
without praying. What is the true difference between a true minister and a hireling? Prayer. I'm going to say that again. What is the true difference between a true man of God and a hireling? Prayer. Prayer. Not preaching. Not ministry, not counseling, not how nice they are to the people, not how much time they invest in people. The difference between a true minister and a hireling comes down to prayer. Not just prayer, but biblical prayer. Ministries that are hirelings attract people to themselves. They want everyone to like them. A hireling does not do the will of the Father. Daily prayer, which participates with the Father in both fellowship and conduit of ministry, is the most important of all things for both the pastor and the saint. Please hear this. Putting anything ahead of prayer is a recipe for failure and a destruction of homes, marriages, children, relationships, and everything else in life. 1 Samuel 12:23. This is Samuel saying, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against who? The Lord." What? "In ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." What did Samuel the prophet, the shepherd of Israel, say? "God forbid. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in doing what? Ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." What if our greatest sin is we have ceased to pray for those entrusted to us? What if we are praying prayers that are not the will of God and God is not hearing us? Ministry team, moms, dads, husbands, and wives, what would happen if we truly engaged in biblical prayer for ALB? Our children, our marriages, families, and children. Biblical prayer is the only way that will reveal how to teach our children the good and the right way of the Lord. I watch parents all the time stray from the admonition and the nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ in their teaching, in their instruction. They're constant. They're not really teaching them the right way. Do you know what the greatest sin of a father and a husband, a mother and a wife is? Ceasing to pray for your family and for your children. It's the greatest sin. You're not sinning against them. You're sinning against the Lord. Fathers, what would happen if, and husbands, what would happen if we would truly stand up underneath the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to truly begin to take our families and begin to cease not to pray for them and learn how to biblically pray for them and instruct them in the right and the true way of righteousness and of the Lord? What would happen to our families? What would happen to our marriages? What would happen with our children? But how many of us have ceased to pray and we're sinning against the Lord because our families in prayer have not become a priority between us and God? You could correct a lot of things in your marriage if you would learn how to biblically pray for your wife and for your home and for your family and for your children. It could change everything. Instead of sitting around fussing and griping and complaining about how unsubmitted she is and she won't do what you tell her to do. Well, we got wound up there. Let me come. Well, how about you? You're not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not obedient to Him. So why should she submit to you? Well, the Bible tells her to. Yeah. The Bible says a lot of things. Too bad you had to highlight that one. Because I could take the book and beat you half to death with it. See, biblical prayer is the only way that will reveal how to teach our children the good and the right way of the Lord. Oh, I know. Biblical prayer is the only way ALB, our marriages, our families, our relationships in ALB, and our children will go in the good and the right way of the Lord. It's the only way. Conviction means to be firmly convinced. And one of the saddest things that is missing in the church and in our homes is conviction. It is terrifying for preachers and saints, moms and dads, husbands and wives, who are sinning against God because they have ceased to pray. I'll say that again. It is terrifying. It's horrible for preachers and saints, moms and dads, husbands and wives, who are sinning against God because they have ceased to pray. The people of God who have no conviction, and in their homes and private lives, they are not living the good and right way of the Lord. Hear me, I'll say it again. I'm just telling you what the Lord says. I just write down what He says. The people of God who have no conviction in their homes, in their private lives, they are not living the good and right way of the Lord. Children, watch prayerless parents. Parents that are walking contrary to the will of God and that which is preached from the Word of God. It is frightening when there is no conviction in our services, conviction in our homes. Prayer. How can you get away with doing some of the things in your life? You're not praying. I'm going to say it again. How can you get away with some of the things you're doing in your life and in your home and in your family? You're not praying. Prayer correct, biblical praying would correct it. You're sinning because you have ceased to pray that you may teach your children the good and the right way of the Lord. You say, Brother Pound, that's very negative. No, it's not. It's very positive. Prayer must first become our first daily priority. We may be professional Christians. Look around. See if you find any professional Christians. Everybody's staring straight ahead. I ask you to look around and see if there's any professional Christians. Everybody like, oh God, somebody's looking at me. We may be professional Christians, but if prayer is not my priority, then I do not know God, according to Matthew 7, 21, 24. Prayer is the most important ministry in the church. I'm going to tell you, the most important ministry in ALB is the ministry of prayer and not the pulpit. The most important thing in ALB is if I, as your spiritual authority, give myself to biblical prayer. And I give myself to biblical prayer. Because it's the most important ministry in the church. How can I get up here and minister the word of the Lord to you if I haven't heard from God and you hear from God because of prayer? How can I say anything to you that does not come from the mouth of God and the heart of God without prayer? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the most important ministry in the church. Anything done without true biblical prayer as its source and direction and empowerment is not blessed by God. Please hear that. In a New Testament context only, true prayer is the difference between Abel's acceptable sacrifice and Cain's rejected sacrifice. From a New Testament perspective, Abel's sacrifice of first of the spirit and Cain's sacrifice was of the flesh. Abel's was first done by and through God. Cain's was done by human will and intellect. It was done for God. Going through the motions of prayer is just putting in time, and it's not prayer at all. I want conviction to get in this place today. I'm not beating you up. I promise you, I'm not beating you up. Is the Lord challenging us today? Is he saying some rather hard things? Yes, he's challenging us. He wants to wake us up and stir up inside of us a desire for prayer. You see, going through the motions of prayer is just putting in time and is not prayer at all. Well, I prayed an hour today. Really, did you ever get connected? The clock may say you have been there an hour, but what if we have not connected with God and the flow of His Spirit in prayer? Taking care of all obstacles in your life, grudges, unrepented sins, uncast cares, self-will, so you can get those things out of the way by the grace of God so you can connect with God, then we haven't prayed at all. We haven't prayed at all. There's a reason why prayer is not working. You say, Pastor, that is negative. Because people are trying. No, 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 no. You don't try to do the will of God. God has to work that in me and I have to let Him. Philippians 2:12. How long have I been preaching? About 8 minutes? Not long? I'm not sure. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody misinterprets that right there. Well, I got to work out my own salvation. You think God ever left anything up to you? You think you could save yourself? You'd already done it if you could. Well, I'm just going to work it out. How do you work it out? You work it out in prayer. This is how you work it out. Do you know that word trembling right there? Look it up in the Greek. It comes from a Greek word which means the inability to do one thing. How do you work it out? You work it out in prayer, understanding with fear and trembling that of myself, I can't do one thing. I can't save myself. I can't deliver myself. I can't heal myself. I can't fix myself. I can't mend anything. Of myself, I cannot do one thing. Because the next verse says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will, which is His desires, His choices, His decisions, that which pleases Him and to do of His good plan. It's God who works in you all of this stuff. Why? Because I first have to come to this conclusion. I can't heal anything. I can't fix anything. I have no answers for anything. I of myself, I can do nothing. I realize there's not one thing I can do in my life that can fix anything. And I'm working it out in prayer because I'm reaching this place in God where I'm allowing God to work in me. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Because you see, it is impossible for me not to do my will, for it is God who worketh in His will, in me His will and good pleasure. It is a work of God. But if I don't submit my will to God, I go pray. But if I don't submit my will to God in prayer, I haven't prayed. I'm going to say that again. The Lord said, you and I can go pray, but if we don't submit our will to God in prayer, we haven't prayed. Spent a lot of time, said a lot of stuff, but God hasn't recognized or heard one word of it. I've just attempted to fulfill a religious obligation. Once again, just going through the motions of prayer and putting in prayer time is not prayer at all. Somebody pray for Philip to be here next Sunday. Ask God to help him hurry up and get through that revival so he can be here. Because some of you are thinking, God, if Philip was here, we wouldn't be having this. I know I heard you. The only one who gives value and credence to that religious effort is the one doing the praying, because God certainly doesn't. I've done my praying today. Now I can go and do what I want. Really? What about walking in the Spirit? God is not seeking for those who will put forth an effort. He is looking for those who will be submitted to Him and those that desire to please Him. Our Father is God. We are not. And we cannot presume to tell God what we will do for Him. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. You think you can negotiate with God? God said, this is my will and there's no negotiation. You're in it or out of it. God tells us what He expects us to do, how we are to do it, and when we are to do, so we may please Him. I'm just reading to you what God has spoken to me, awakened me. I don't understand all them present, past, all that stuff. Whenever I was awake, God was talking. Sometimes He woke me up out of a dead sleep, and I'd have to start writing. And I'm just telling you what He's given to me over the years and in prayer. You see, God is God alone. So the question is this. Is the church in the earth a praying church? Now, there may be churches in the earth that pray. But as a whole, a collective body globally, is the church a praying church? Are we a praying people? I watch Tuesday night prayer meetings dwindle down to just a handful of people. Why? I'm busy. Corporate prayer is a whole lot different than your individual praying. It's kind of like Israel. Man, they had over 1.2 million man army at one time. When it dwindled down, they were finally taken into captivity. There was just a handful of soldiers, a few soldiers left to war. We've kind of rescheduled prayer meeting around here, not on Tuesday night. Sister Joni's asked permission if the ladies could meet, and I said, yes, it's not an ALB requirement. It's nothing that I put in motion. It's something she asked, and I said, okay. But we have this Tuesday prayer chain because you cannot take prayer out of ALB. This church is built on prayer, founded in prayer. People in this church really pray. My wife and I really pray. First thing we do, crawl out of bed. I head to my office every day and spend hours up there. It's just, I want to know how to pray. You see, and then for us to reschedule a Tuesday night prayer meeting, we're replacing it now with a 24-hour prayer chain. I'm asking you, if you're part of ALB, please sign up. Because this Tuesday night prayer meeting for the ladies is not meant to replace the prayer chain. That's not the purpose. She just asked, hey, can we come pray at the church on Tuesday night? Yes. But I would rather you do the prayer chain because that's what we're trying to do. Amen. Because 24 hours a day, if we can get people, moms and dads, husbands and wives, and young people committed to prayer, I'm so appreciative of those that signed up 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, early in the morning to win. Yeah, I'm glad people are filling in those early morning hours. Yeah. Church, I'm telling you right now, whatever you got to do to sacrifice your time, because prayer is the most important thing in this body, in your home, in your life, in your marriage. Prayer! And you can't replace it with sleep. And you can't replace it with rhetorical words. I'm too busy. I'll give it to you if you haven't signed up yet. Probably just slipped past it and forgot. Well, may you remember today. That's why we got it on this little thing, right? I know. This is so negative and so hard, Brother Pam. Stop being a Christian snowflake. You can't replace life with a marriage. I mean, you can't replace, well, you can. You can do that, but you can't replace marriage with prayer. Maybe I got that backwards. Did I? I'm not sure. Maybe you can't replace marriage with... I don't know, but y'all know what I'm talking about. You can't replace prayer with a job. You can't place repair prayer with some kind of busy schedule. You can't do it. You got time for Facebook. You got time for the internet. You got time for games. You got time for everything else. And then say, I don't have time. Look at somebody and say, Brother Phil will be here next week. Thank you, whoever said that. Who said that? Thank you, Sister Brenda. All right. So here's the question. Is the church in the earth the praying church? I know we got sidelined there, marginalized in the footnotes. Are we a praying people? The number one biblical church growth and personal growth method is prevailing, persistent, and supernatural prayer. If we are not doing that, any growth we have is produced by the flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Every true church and child of God that has been and is being built on and by that kind of prayer. What is death? Scriptural death is death to my will, and doing the will of God first and foremost is for me to pray. If I do not pray, I have not done the will of God. I'm going to say it just, if I do not pray, I have not done the will of God. I've usurped the will of God with my will by choosing, too busy to pray today. Early day church prayed until they had a breakthrough. Today we just plan. I don't know where Lindsay and her kids are, but I just need my water. Please hear me. I'm about at the end, aren't I, Sister Penny? Okay. Please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. The early day church prayed until they had a breakthrough. Today we just plan. Thank you, Brother Tyler. The church is being worn out by meetings, planning meetings, and not prayer meetings. Just telling you what the Lord's told me. Just writing down what he said, and I thought he said some good stuff. We pray for a few minutes, and then we plan for hours. We substitute programs for power and entertainment for the manifested presence of God. This is God's words and not mine. The church of Laodicea, Revelations 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door. This is a church. This is a people who claim to be Christians and the people of God. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Here is the question. Could you put that back up there, Sister Penny? Huh? You know what? It's because this is on new notes and you got the old notes. Could you find Revelations 3 and 20? I remember that now, and I thought Penny's going to have problems because of me. Here's a question. Could we all read this together? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Here's the question. How did he get on the outside of the church trying to get on the inside? He's knocking at the door of a church. And if you look at the characteristics of a church, it's of that church, it's terrible. We're talking about people who claim to be Christians, people who claim to be believers, people who claim to be the children of God. And now Jesus is standing on the outside of this church and he's knocking. How did he get on the outside? The lack of prayer. How does he get on the outside of any Christian life? The lack of prayer. And now he's knocking. And he said, not even to the church. He said, if anybody, just anybody, anybody in a prayerless church would just open up the door and begin through prayer, begin to pray, I'm just going to come right on in with you. I'm going to sit down. We're going to communicate. We're going to talk. We're going to sup. I'm going to feed you. There's things I'm going to take care of if you can just biblically begin to just open up the door and let me in. I wonder today how many of our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ truly on the outside of? Knocking, knocking. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm calling you to prayer. Can you hear me? I'm calling you to sacrifice. Can you hear me? I'm calling you to unbusy yourself. Can you hear me? I'm calling you to an hour of prayer on the prayer chain. Don't choose your hour. Let God choose the hour for you. Don't choose the hour that's convenient. Choose the hour that is inconvenient. Oh, God. Individual prayer and corporate prayer are two different dimensions of prayer. I'm going to tell you that again. Your personal private prayer time. That's why on Tuesday nights, we don't come here and have our own personal private prayer time. You do that by yourself, intimately with God, locked away in a private place, free from distractions. Corporate prayer has nothing to do. It's not supposed to be people huddled in different corners and areas of the church and walking around developing your own communication with God. That's not what corporate prayer is all about. Corporate prayer is when we come together and we begin to bind together and loose together and war together and speak together. That's when faith becomes united and we become one. In private prayer, you're a son. In corporate prayer, you're a bride. You're the wife. And I'm going to ask you a question. Hey, Kyle, it's a good question. You love these boys, don't you? Even. You love Carson and you love Connor. You ever listen to what they say? You do? How about when there's a question between them and her, who do you listen to the most? Her for sure. A great answer. Tyler? Well, same. Yeah, they're not even old enough to listen. You have to have an interpreter for that. Amen. See, that's why I don't even, you're got the Holy Ghost. You're talking to them. Hey, Chris, you listen to Michelle more or Cole? Do that again. I wish everybody could see that. Yeah. Do you know why? Wives have more power and influence with the husband than children do. In our house growing up, it didn't matter what Brian and Angela said, what mom said. She's my wife. She has more influence with me than they'll ever have. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you think has more power and influence with God, the husband? A son in a private prayer meeting or the bride in a corporate prayer meeting? I'm going to tell you what, when the bride gathers together, you need to understand that those are two dimensions of prayer. When you pray by yourself, that's one dimension. But when we, my God, when we gather together, I'm telling you, and we begin to bind together and loose together, and we begin to speak the powers of darkness, and we speak the situations, and we speak to certain circumstances, I'm telling you, the bride has more influence with God than an individual. your son at any time. And that's why you need to make sure when we have corporate prayer, you're here. You want the church to speak to something in your life? Come. Or deal with it all by yourself in prayer. Well, that was mean. No, it wasn't. Tyler said it was good. Right now, he has more influence with me than... Here's a question. Is ALB truly a house of prayer, Brother Brian? Is it? Are we truly a house of prayer? Is the majority of our frustration because we are trying to make things work? We try to market our church and ask God to bless it. We try to program our church and ask God to bless it. We try to plan our church and ask God to bless it. Please hear this. I wrote this down. But we have not truly prayed and submitted our will to His will and said, okay, whatever you want to do. When do you want to do it? Who do you want to do it? How do you want to do it? And where do you want to do it? That's what God blesses. Anything that is not conceived in prayer, in birthed in prayer, God will not bless it. Anything that is, it doesn't matter what we plan. It doesn't matter how we program. Doesn't how we market. I'm telling you, we are up against some of the greatest marketing giants in the world. Just get on the website or on the internet and look at churches and how they're marketed. How do you and I compete with that? We don't. We just give ourselves to prayer. And hearing the voice of God. What do you want to plan? What do you want to do? When do you want to do it? Who do you want to do it? How do you want to do it? Where do you want to do it? And when we hear His voice, that's His will. And then we begin to put that into place. God said, now my blessing's on it. Because when we spend more time planning than we do praying, and more programming than we do praying, I can tell you, flesh can come up with some good stuff. It can, but God won't bless it. Because in eternity, it doesn't matter. It matters in the here and now only because we're impressing people. You see, God will only hear and answer and bless His will. God will only manifest His power to fulfill His purpose and will. You're not going to hurry Him up. We may delay Him, but we won't hurry Him up. Can I say this? I said, we might as well, Brother Pound. You said everything else. God and this world, hear me, are looking for a real church that will stand up and pray. That's what God's looking for. This is what a world's looking for. You can have all the programs you want. They don't deliver. They don't heal. They don't fix. They don't mend. They don't cure. They help us to deal with ourselves and deal with the situation. Only God can deliver and set free. And that only comes through prayer. Thank God for all the programs and thank God for all of that stuff. But if we don't have prayer as the foundation to flow into all this stuff, it's just a bunch of people meeting and talking. And this world, I'm telling you, we're living in a, hear me, I don't want to be mean, we're living in an over-church society. There's more churches in every city than there are fillings, gas stations. There's churches in this Golden Triangle region. There's over 300-400 churches. And how come we, as all the churches, aren't making an impact in our world? How come our government's still upside down? How come our world is upside down? How come our schools are being turned on their head in college? Why is it? It's not because we don't have a bunch of churches. We got churches on every street. We've got churches everywhere, all throughout the United States. We are overchurched, which lets me know the reason nothing is changing in our world and nothing is changing in the USA is because there's not a church yet that knows how to stand up and pray. Because if the church ever learned how to pray, everything about our government would change. Everything about our culture and society would change. That's what God's looking for, not a bunch of angry parents at a school board meeting. Of course, I understand. You know what would change all of that? Praying parents. Not protesting parents, praying parents. You know what will change the legislation and laws about abortion? Not picketing lines, laying out on sidewalks in front of abortion clinics. It's a church that knows how to stand up and pray. And through spiritual warfare and prayer, praying the will of God, you can shut things down. You can change the curriculum of a school if you know how to pray. See, this is what the world is looking for. Somebody that knows how to stand up and pray, because it is the key to all things. Well, Brother Pound, it's a whole lot easier to put a sign in my hand and say, hey, no coalition here. Yeah, that is birthed in the flesh, carried out in the flesh, and God won't bless it. But when a church can come together on a Tuesday night and begin to agree together and begin to pray together, because she has more influence with God than I do all by myself, we can change things, church. We can change the world. ALB, we're going to change the world. We'll impact the world from this building. It's not because of the preaching. It's not because of the teaching. It's because of the prayer of abundant life of Beaumont that's going to turn this world upside down on its head. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. You want your marriage right? Pray. If you want your children to come back, pray. I'm telling you, if we know how to biblically pray and bring ourselves into alignment with His will, God will place His hands and God will place His blessing on everything we're doing. But it's easier to sit around drinking coffee, clucking and huffing and puffing about the situations. It's so much easier. When God is calling us to pray, pray. You see, this world and our families are in a desperate need of a praying church. Not a prayerless, impotent imposter of a church. How terribly sad it is that our loving Heavenly Father has to take such drastic measures to get His people to pray. When prayer should be our greatest joy and privilege every day. We can pray voluntarily or involuntarily, but pray we will. Sooner or later, God will compel us to put prayer in our lives. If we don't, I'm reading what the Lord spoke to me I'm just reading it to you. If we don't change our lives, our plans, our schedules to make prayer our number one daily priority, then God will change our lives, our plans, and our schedules for us. Just telling you what God said. I promise you, then we will pray. Daily prayer may not be our daily priority for our lives, but it is God's greatest priority for our lives. Each day, whose will be done each hour, each minute, ours or God's? I'm going to say this one more time. Daily prayer. This is God. I just wrote this down. May not be our daily priority for our lives, but it is God's greatest priority for our lives. Asking us to stand. Could we just quickly come down to the altar? That's all right. You don't have to. I'm so sorry. You can go right back where you came from. And hopefully that was a good place. God's calling us to pray, church. It's the call of God. I pray today that the Spirit and the Word got inside of you and stirred up inside of you such a desire to pray. To establish that connection with Him first thing in the morning. The Lord willing, I'll begin to give you the structure of how I pray now. At a later time, it's all scriptural. It'll take almost 2 hours to completely get through. If you're going by hours, I go by time spent with Him. Could you just grab hold of the hand of somebody beside you, husbands and wives? Friends, could you just find the hand of somebody else? Our marriages are crying for prayer. Our children are crying for prayer. Families crying for prayer. A nation's crying for prayer. God's desperately calling us to pray. Could you begin to ask God to stir up inside of who you're praying with right now? Could you ask God to stir up inside of them by His Spirit and Word such a desire to pray? A desire to pray. Father, I loose and release into each one of our hearts such an overwhelming, consuming hunger, a thirsting, a desire to pray.